Yeah, we're going through all the coaches, Cliff, offensively, defensively, on the teams wide. And so that's really what we're digging into, Nikki, to find what's best, how do we do it, you know, where do we find spaces to improve. And, you know, for Cliff, for Joe, for Larry, for all of us, like, that's our main focus. Like, so we're never in this space again. And that's what we want to dig in hard on.
Oh, for all you guys that love to blame coaching for everything, there you go, baby. Well, not there you go. Here you go. Cliff Kingsbury is out. Joe Witt Jr. is out. There will be new offensive and defensive coordinators for the Washington Commanders unless Dan Quinn decides to take on both positions. We will see. Good afternoon, everybody. Excellent turnaround there, AMAC. Well done. I am not celebrating coaches getting fired. And you could call it mutual parting of the ways and all that nonsense. I'm sure I'm going to get a text any moment now because I just put up a tweet saying, you know, we're here to talk about the Commanders firing Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury. I'm sure I'm going to get a text from somebody in the building saying, it wasn't a firing. It was a mutual decision. Blah, 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 blah. They were fired. Okay? They were fired. And you heard Dan Quinn yesterday here live with Doc, and then just again as part of that with Nikki Javala saying, you know, we're going through all that. Must have been a real quick evaluation. Boy, they turned over every stone between yesterday at 5:30 and this morning when they fired Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, we knew Joe Witt was not going to be the defensive coordinator anymore. The only question was whether he was going to stay on the staff. That is not surprising. Cliff Kingsbury shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that's paying attention. But it is. I think the timing, I think the mechanism is a little bit of a surprise. I said to somebody last night, what they're probably going to do is allow Cliff to interview for these head coaching positions, Tennessee, Giants, wherever. And when, if and when Cliff got one, obviously wish him well, don't let the door hit you in the ass, boom, boom, boom. I said, but if he did not get one, everyone and their mother would then assume Cliff was coming back, and then they'd fire him. That's the scenario that I laid out last night in talking to somebody. And they thought that was kind of interesting. And I turned out to be wrong. They fired him this morning, before he even interviews, before he's even able to interview. Even though the Commanders are out of the playoffs, they're not able to interview for head coaching jobs until, I think it's after tomorrow or at least tomorrow. It's like the third day of the offseason. But now you have not only question as to who's going to lead your offense, and if and who is going to lead your defense, and are they lame duck hires, or are they the best hires because Dan Quinn is officially now a lame duck head coach? They won't admit that. They'll never admit that. You know, and I know, that Dan Quinn and essentially Adam Peters are in lame duck situations. Now, again, they're going to deny that until the cows come home. It's the reality, man. It doesn't mean both are getting fired. It doesn't mean both only have 1 year left. But somebody better fix something, or they'll both be gone next year at this time. Mark my words. Now, I say that with saying, well, if they operate like the Giants, you know, then they'll just fire the coach, keep the GM, and act like everything's great. When it's obviously not. So, I shouldn't say they'll fire both, because clearly teams do it all sorts of different ways. Look at the Miami Dolphins. They fired the GM, keeping the head coach, or at least for now. And obviously, while I speak of the Dolphins, if Mike McDaniel were to get fired in Miami, you could do a lot worse than getting Mike McDaniel as your offensive coordinator, who clearly has a great familiarity with Dan Quinn. They worked together in Atlanta, the whole Shanahan thing. And I would, by the way, I would look for somebody from that San Francisco staff to be heavily rumored, mentioned, pushed, what have you, for this job. Dan Quinn has a, and Adam Peters, have a tremendous respect for Kyle Shanahan. Tremendous respect. And if Kyle Shanahan says, hey, you know what? Look, this is the situation. This is a great coach. Maybe you know him, maybe you don't. I think Matt LaFleur's brother is there still, Mike LaFleur. You should hire this guy. I think that guy is going to catapult to the top of the list. The problem is, while San Francisco's alive, and without them having a bye, it becomes more problematic. But you don't need to rush this hire. You don't need to make a decision tomorrow in any way, shape, or form. They could, but you don't need to. And here's the thing. We talked about this yesterday. The whole Cliff situation with Russini's report over the weekend. Adam Peters. Adam Peters went out of his way last night publicly to say, that's got nothing to do with me, man. That's all DQ. And I said on Twitter last night, I said, Adam Peters can say whatever he wants publicly. For anybody to believe that he's got no influence, no input, no nothing on the coaching staff, it's just poppycock. I mean, it's just nonsense. Of course he does. Right? And if Dan Quinn and Adam Peters are as close as they want you to believe that they are, and I have no reason to think that they're not, then you know if Adam Peters and Cliff Kingsbury aren't seeing eye to eye. You know if there's reported friction that Dan Quinn is going to hear about it, know about it, and say, yeah, I may respect Cliff, I may like Cliff. This isn't about not respecting Cliff or somebody not working hard or somebody not doing their best with Jaden. This is just a philosophical divide. A philosophical divide. And that's basically what I believe this is. This is not Cliff sucks as a coach. This is not Cliff didn't work hard. This is, hey man, we don't want to run 65% no huddle. We don't want to run 11% under center, only boosted by Josh Johnson and Marcus Mariota. We don't want to run as much quarterback power, quarterback draw, RPO, or read option. We want to run a more traditional style offense. Boots, play action, get the ball out, quarter field reads, half field reads, whatever it might be. Big time use of the tight end. That's what we want. Less of that, more of this. Less spread, less college and gimmicky, more traditional and more in line with their personnel. And if you think about it, their personnel, even though Jaden has this wonderful, wonderful athletic attribute to just be able to create and make plays and snap his finger and whatever, how did that wonderful athleticism help him this year? As a matter of fact, it didn't help him. It got him in trouble. It got him in trouble. Just like I said, when they drafted him and after, he was eventually, if not shortly, going to become an injury-prone concern. In his very first game in the NFL, he took two headshots in which his head helmet flew off in Tampa. He got the cracked rib because he was running all over the place and trying to break down the Carolina Panthers. That affected him for 3, 4, 5 games, whatever you want to call it. He took a couple of other weird accordion-like shots, bounced back, was great. Everybody fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. Oh, this guy's Gumby. This guy's just so good. This guy's going to be able to run away from everything. I kept telling you, listen, I love Jaden. I ain't going to be able to run away from everything in the NFL. Because he didn't run away from everything at LSU. If you really watch the tape, there were car crash hit after car crash hit after car crash hit. And that was the SEC. Because you can't run away from everyone. Whether you're really fast and dynamic, whether you're Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, or not. And this will be part of the problem with whoever comes here and takes over the offense is how do you balance that dynamic, one. Two, how do you say, even if we reduce that dynamic by design, by choice, by emphasis, by call, by study, even if we reduce it, how do we not completely abandon it so that it's still a special force? It's still a special factor. But it doesn't lead to open field kill shots like it did at the start of the fourth quarter, week two in Green Bay. Or like it did in Dallas, where actually it wasn't the sack and the hit that knocked him out, but it was the play before on a scramble in which he hurt his quad or his groin or his hamstring or whatever the hell he hurt. Or in Seattle on Sunday Night Football with 7.5 minutes left to go at the end of a long drive when people wanted him benched, people weren't paying attention, and Jaden missed Debo, and Jaden did not execute the handoff, but he had the option not to hand off the ball. And he took an unnecessary slamming to the ground, of which he braced with his left arm and elbow. And it went bent. And then in Minnesota, after he throws an interception and he's trying to make a play on the return, which I give him credit for, and he gets squashed like a bug. We said yesterday on both Twitter and on this show, the rift between Adam Peters and Jaden Daniels, between Adam Peters and Cliff Kingsbury, as was reported, and now we know it was true, the rift between Adam Peters and Cliff Kingsbury, probably more than anything else, led to the shutdown of Jaden Daniels. AP probably looked around and said, hell no. There's no chance I'm allowing Cliff Kingsbury to run quarterback power, quarterback draw, quarterback this, quarterback that, run here, run there, RPO, read option, all this stuff. Remember the Chargers game, second play of the game? Remember that? I do. After missing two games, runs quarterback power for no reason. Oh, look, I defended Cliff Kingsbury last year. I talked about how the Cliff was not a thing. I talked about how it was all mostly Kyler Murray's fault. I was right. I was proven right. You guys were all wrong. This was not a Cliff. This was not a see, I told you so. But this was, this year, kind of an indictment on Cliff's philosophy not being conducive to sustainability in the NFL. That's what it was. It's not Cliff doesn't know how to coach in the second half of a season, or Cliff doesn't know how to counter adjust or do things differently. That's the Cliff. That's what you're all wrong on. That's what I fought so hard against last year. And all of you were wrong. This is not the Cliff. This is Cliff not being able to find a way down from the cliff, to change, to adjust, to evolve, to do things differently. A lot of the time, not some of the time, a lot of the time, because he did do it some of the time, to keep their quarterbacks healthy and to keep the efficiency in the offense. That's what this is, period. All right, your reaction to Cliff Kingsbury and, oh yeah, Joe Witt got fired today too. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. If you want to yell at me on Twitter, it's at WrestleMania621. I've got a breaking news report that I'll give you on the other side about this situation and specifically Cliff Kingsbury, something we talked about yesterday but now is being put in different context. I'll have it for you next. Hop aboard, 301-230-0980. Just getting rocking and rolling. Cliff Kingsbury, Joe Witt Jr., both out with the Commanders. Who will be next? We will see. On the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. All right, everybody, welcome back. And we do have that breaking news for you. It's not news, but it is a report. And it is something we directly discussed yesterday. According to Jordan Schultz, longtime NFL insider, he said, quote, sources, my understanding is that key Commanders offensive players, including quarterback Jaden Daniels, are disappointed with the team's decision to part ways with offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury. Daniels vouched for him to stay in his presser on Monday, which we played for you yesterday in the 3 o'clock hour, and we talked about, and noted that that was a very important thing, along with what his mom said on Twitter. And according to Schultz, was among those quote-unquote blindsided by the move. I don't know. Does that hit you as anything to be really worried about? I didn't know if Regina, his mom, who put out year three loading KK, you know, JD, whatever the language was just like a thing for good PR. I didn't know. I've heard that she is genuinely, and so is Jaden, genuinely a big fan of Cliff Kingsbury. Now, as we said yesterday, right? Jaden was going to have some influence here, I would think, but he didn't get to make the decision. But it doesn't even look like he had much influence. I'm sure at some point he and DQ, AP, whatever, had a conversation. Yeah, I love Cliff. I really enjoy working with him. He challenged, whatever. Okay, so maybe they knew what they needed to know, and they knew he would be disappointed, and they still pulled the plug anyway. That's their right. As I said yesterday, I thought with the report before they even spoke at 5:15, and AP said, no, I got nothing to do with coaching staff, which I don't believe. I said, AP and DQ make decisions, not Jaden Daniels, not Jaden Daniels' mom. But you do have to factor in if a quarterback, a now going into his third year quarterback, who mentally might be feeling a little bit unsure of himself, now has to learn a completely new language system and work with somebody else. And not to mention, they already lost to Vita Pritchard. Not to mention. And it's possible that they could lose Anthony Lynn. It's also possible that Anthony Lynn could be promoted to offensive coordinator. It's possible that they could lose David Blau. David Blau could be promoted to offensive coordinator, right? It's possible. All possible. But I think it's pretty clear that Jaden and Regina Jackson – Don't run the organization. And that part is a good thing. Now, whether they get this right or not, that I don't know. We'll have to wait and find out. But it's pretty clear that if this Jordan Schultz report is true, and if what Regina said on Twitter the other day and what Jaden said yesterday at his presser is all true and not just for cosmetic purposes, then we know one thing. We don't know who the new offensive coordinator is going to be, but we know Jaden Daniels is not running the organization. That we know. 301-230-0980. Let's squeeze in a call here. Before the bottom of the hour, you want to get aboard 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get out to Dan in the leadoff spot in D.C. Dan, good afternoon on the Team 980. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing?
All right, Dan. What's going on?
I was going to say, the OC firing, I think that was surprising, but I understand it because of all the stuff happened with J.D. and not protecting him. I was going to say one can and no one's talking about. I feel like Jay Gruden should get an interview. What do you think? At least an interview.
Well, so here's the thing. I could never, ever, ever say it wouldn't happen because it happened in Denver where Vance Joseph was the former head coach and now he's the defensive coordinator, right? And at Virginia Tech, James Franklin hired Brent Pry, who was the former head coach of the Hokies this year. And now it's his so I could never say, well, that would never happen. That would be stupid. That would be this. That being said, I have all the respect in the world for Jay Gruden as an offensive play caller, mind, whatever. I think he would probably jump at the chance. But he's been out for 5 years. Four and a half years. You would have to risk, I guess. Jay still having his fastball. And maybe you can do that. And quite honestly, I'm here to tell you it's not a name that I was thinking about. So I appreciate that you brought it up. I just don't know the viability. I mean, if you ask me, like, what the percentage out of 100 would be, I'd probably say, I don't know, 1%, 2%. But I could be wrong on that. You could be onto something.
I mean, his tree is still in the NFL.
Yes.
Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan.
Matt and Kyle were not his
Kyle
tree.
Shanahan, sorry.
Sean West Phillips, who's the offensive coordinator for Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell.
Absolutely.
So he has ties.
Absolutely.
For sure. But, I would love one of the Sean McVay's trees hires to be the hiree. So we'll see.
All right. I appreciate the I was not expecting that name, to be quite honestly. I had not crossed my mind on that, but I appreciate you bringing it up. Thank you, Dan. We'll get to some of the usual suspects coming up. I'll get to some more names that have been already suggested on social media by others, by listeners, by reporters, by insiders. My own list, my own internal thoughts. I have no exact answers. I'm just going to tell you, okay? Here's a possibility. Here's what I think. Here's what might be the case. Here's what might be a positive. Here's what might be a negative. I let them make the decision because they ain't coming to me for consultation. 131, Team 980. We'll take a trending alert timeout here, and then we will get back to it on the phones with you at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Another big move in the NFC East, one that was expected on this show, is also in. I'll tell you about that in just a sec, right here. All right, so the big story is Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt Jr. let go by the Washington Commanders today. They're calling it a mutual parting of the ways, at least with Kingsbury. Witt had been stripped of his play-calling duties earlier this year. And now the Commanders need to replace both coordinators on both sides of the ball, or Dan Quinn could stay as the play-caller on defense. The other NFC East move is, well, Matt Eberflus. Not Dan Quinn's assistant replacement. Nope, that was Mike Zimmer. Matt Eberflus becomes the third Dallas Cowboy defensive coordinator in 3 years to either leave the organization or to lose his job. Mike Zimmer last year, Dan Quinn, of course, taking the Commander's head coaching job 2 years ago. Matt Eberflus is out. Jerry Jones saying, quote, change is needed. The Atlanta Falcons have apparently, according to ESPN, restructured Kirk Cousins' deal and modified the final 2 years of his contract. And now they will have to make apparently a decision, according to ESPN, by the third day of the 2026 league year, which is March 13th. Cousins and the Falcons, of course, seeing Raheem Morris and their general manager fired yesterday and finished with a four-game win streak at 8-9. And finally, from college football, Charlie Weiss Jr. is going to stay and coach Ole Miss for Thursday night's Fiesta Bowl against Miami. That according to ESPN. He, of course, leaving for LSU, but has been back in Oxford coaching the Rebels. Running backs coach Kevin Smith will join him as well. And the Wizards tonight, back at home, hosting the Orlando Magic. Word about Trae Young? We don't know yet, but the rumor is indeed out there that the Wizards are very much interested. Hear it. 7 o'clock, Team 980, 106.7 The Fan, rather. 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. And that's what's trending. All right, 22 in front of the top of the hour. I just told Doc Walker, who's coming up Burgundy and Gold today in 2.5 hours at 4 o'clock, that I was going to put on a clinic and that he should listen up. Knowing full well that Doc is already listening and, well, they call him Doc. He should be the one. He is the one putting on a clinic on how to talk to all of you canines. The doctor in the house. He's coming up at 4 o'clock, Burgundy and Gold today. In the midst, you're stuck with me and AMAC and a little cowboy Bob as well, who's celebrating the fact that Matt Eberflus was blamed for everything in Dallas. That's right. Good job by the Cowboys there. So the Commanders firing Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt Jr. Again, they're calling it different, whatever. I don't care. That's what it was. Again, nobody is surprised by Joe Witt. Some will be surprised by Cliff Kingsbury because of the tremendous success he had this year. But if you're paying attention, nobody, upon nobody, should ever in any way, shape, or form say Cliff's offense didn't work. Cliff's offense fell off of a cliff. The cliff. Nobody should be saying that. This is, I truly believe, a philosophical divide between what Adam Peters wants, what Dan Quinn presumably wants. Presumably. I say that because notice how the report over the weekend from Diana didn't come out that Dan Quinn was having friction with Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, maybe she just missed that part or wasn't told that part, but I thought that was notable. And then yesterday, during Doc's show, they aired the press conference, the joint press conference, and Adam Peters, now this is before they fire Cliff Kingsbury, is very, very, very quick to say, hey man, that has nothing to do with me. That's all DQ's decision. And I thought my BS radar went burp, 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 burp. Of course he's got something to do with that. Now, does he make the final decision on that? Maybe not. Maybe that truly is DQ's. But they work as a tandem. They work as Batman and Robin. They were hired together. They were hired because Kyle Shanahan put them together and heavily influenced that hire. Period. So you knew right then and there, even though AP publicly was saying he has nothing to do with it, that he has, of course, something significant to do with it. And are we to believe that Dan Quinn, who wasn't mentioned in that report over the weekend, and yesterday said, man, we're searching, so we never have to be here again. We're trying to hit every mark. You know, all the Dan Quinnisms. At 5:30, that they found the pot of gold somehow, some way between 5:30 last night And whenever this story leaked, noon today, and it was earlier from what I was told, somebody else had it, didn't go public, but somebody else had it. But the point being is, they just discovered the pot of gold? Oh, Cliff is unfit. No. They knew what they were doing last night. They just didn't want to say it and face the questions. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's go to Dre in Baltimore. Get Dre aboard in here on the Team 980. What up, Dre? How are you?
What's up, man? Happy holidays.
Same to you, Dre. What's going on?
It's good. It's good to be back. I switched careers, so I can't listen as much as I want to now. But
was it a good career switch?
Yeah, new industry. So I'm going from full-time bartending, bar managing to home improvement consulting. So
do you like it so far?
So far, so good. Learning quick.
Good for you. Good for you. Hopefully that's better for your lifestyle.
Yes, sir. Indeed. Yeah, I'm all for the week, so I got time. I don't want to hold you up too much. But for me with the Cliff thing, it started from training camp to me. It's just like I know we talked about it earlier. You just could tell it was a little complacent. Early in the season, you saw a lot of execution things like illegal formations and shifts, all the false starts leading the league.
Timeouts,
not knowing the cadence. It's week 14, 15. We still don't know the cadence. And it's just, to me, that's just a lack of accountability. And it's almost like the drop passes early in the season were bad. It's like, were they even throwing a football to each other? Like, did we forget how a football felt? And do we lose that skill overnight? And then with Cliff, he didn't adjust, as he should. The defense was struggling. You should have ran the ball more. Your quarterback showed some signs of regression with holding the ball, not getting rid of it quickly and efficiently. And I think just ultimately, he favored Jaden with his play calling, and he was a little more pass happy. But when you had Josh Johnson and Mariota the game, you were more run oriented. Yeah, you had design runs, but you still committed to the run and called certain plays to protect them because, their arm talent wasn't as unique as Jaden Daniels. But you still, it just didn't coincide with the philosophy and it's, I don't know. I it just blows my mind that it went on for so long that Dan didn't put a foot down and just say, hey, man, we need to just run the ball and minimize exposing our quarterback.
Well, here's the only thing that I can answer to that is, and again, I mentioned this yesterday, what if Dan, when they hired Cliff and they got him away from Vegas, right? What if Dan said, look, man, we've never worked together, but in order to get you here, I'm going to give you complete autonomy, and I'm only going to drop in when you ask me to drop in, not when I see something I don't like or when the general manager sees something he doesn't like. I don't know. It's possible that happened.
That's true. And Dan being a defensive guy, I understand where he just doesn't want to, shoot himself and put his foot in his mouth by trying to fix something that that's not his best skill set as a coach. But also with him, to me, in the coaching search, I think he needs to put on this mantra of, if you can't beat him, join him. Get you a Shanahan, disciple and get you a defensive coordinator who specializes in stopping the Shanahan philosophy, because the Seahawks seem to be able to keep that offense at bay. And then, you get a guy from that tree and he can show you different elements of that scheme, and hopefully it can help enhance him as a coach, because the numbers don't look good with him versus these types of offenses, and he has to evolve himself.
I hear you. Listen, I got to run. Appreciate you, Dre. Glad you got a career change and things are working out. Enjoy a couple of days off and get back after it, all right?
Yeah, man. Take care.
Thank you.
Enjoy
Appreciate
the family, man.
Thank you, Dre. Appreciate you. 301-230-0980. We do have to take that time out, so we sort of stay on schedule. We'll get to Mark and Largo and the Mark and Largo Show, Little, and you at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Listen, this is more philosophical divide than Cliff's a bad coach and Cliff is incompetent and Cliff was overmatched. This is – it happens. I got a divorce back in 2014, 2013, whatever it was. I mean, I just took Tyler and Natalie's mom to a Capitals game with, you know, we're all friends. Like, we just, you know, we saw things differently. It happens. It's not a big deal. You move on. Nothing is forever. The NFL stands for not for long. Well, we found out exactly not for long. Today, I'm not mad at this at all, period. If you don't see eye to eye, it's better instead of just fighting and gnashing your teeth and swallowing your pride and whatever to find something that works or to try and find something that works on the Team 980. Stay with us.
I'm really just here to support DQ. The coaching staff is DQ's, and I'm always here to help, like during the season and off season, however I can, you know, to help support him and help him make the decisions that he needs to make, and certainly wherever he needs. So it's not, you know, I'm not involved in whatever decision it is. It's always DQ's call, and I have his back on whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, see, when I heard that live yesterday, I didn't believe it for one second. Sorry. I mean, they could say whatever they want. To think that that Adam Peters had no influence, no input, no control, no opinion, no anything on – just impossible for me to believe. Sorry. They can tell every reporter until they're blue in the face that I don't have to believe it. They can say it. I don't have to believe it. I don't have to buy it because it makes – very little sense. So to me, this is not just a Dan Quinn only decision. This is an organizational hierarchy decision. This is Adam Peters and Dan Quinn making this decision. All right, back to the phones we go. The Mark and Largo Show is with us on the Team 980. Now, Mark and Largo, you know I do not want to talk about Brian Robinson here. I only want to talk about Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt, right? You know that, right?
Right, Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt.
Yes.
Chris, I don't know why you and Kevin have a hard time believing this. Let me tell you the real reason why I think the Commanders got rid of Cliff Kingsbury. Chris, you cannot go into your last game of the season with four wins and your third-string quarterback. You can't get your first and second strings hurt. You can't have a history of hurting your other quarterback in Kyler Murray. And they're going to use that as an excuse, okay? That's the excuse part that they're going to use. Now, let me tell you
let me stop you because you group me in with Kevin and saying I'm having a hard time believing this. I'm not having a hard time believing anything.
I don't know why, because I've been telling y'all this for the last 5 months.
But how did I get thrown in the dirty laundry here of you and Kevin?
Because both of y'all kept saying, it's not going to happen. You know what? I can't listen to Kevin no more. The last 2 days, Kevin has really – I think y'all need to have a serious conversation with Kevin. I think he's taking this a little bit too seriously.
I think you need to deal with your grudge with Kevin or your war with Kevin on Kevin's show. I think you're lumping me in and saying I never thought this could happen and I never what did you say I said that I kept saying that it would never happen? When did I say that about Cliff?
Well, okay. Let's say you did. Okay, Chris, you didn't say it happened, but Kevin does. Okay.
Well,
there's a lot of people on 106.7 didn't think it was going to happen. They didn't think it was going to happen.
Well, I didn't know if it was going to happen. I honestly did not know.
I knew it was going to happen. And I kept telling y'all this for the last 3 or 4 months it was going to happen. I kept telling y'all this was going to happen in the last 3 or 4 months. Haven't I, Chris?
The Mark and Largo Show looked into his crystal ball and said, on Tuesday, January 6th,
anyway,
Cliff Kingsbury was going to get fired.
I told you about that just like I said about look, I don't want to talk about – look, let me just say – let's just get to the meat and potatoes here of what's going on here, all right? You got me, the president of the Get Rid of Adam Peters fan club. My vice VP is Ian. The sergeant-at-arms is Paulie. We got to get him right. Got to have a conversation with him. And the press secretary is Dr. Sabah. She can say whatever she wants to say as long as we need a doctor in our organization to make this work. Here's what we see, okay? We see a GM that was really running, was trying to find somebody else to blame but himself. Clifton had no receivers. That's what he complained about in August. And I knew when he complained about that in August, I said, if they have a bad season, they're going to use Cliff Kingsbury as a scapegoat. Oh, I guarantee you. And that's what they did. And I told y'all this back in October, Cliff was going to be gone. Cliff was going to be gone. I kept saying it in November.
All right.
I kept saying it last month.
Yeah, I'm sure they weren't thrilled.
And Dan Quinn, look, all due respect to Dan Quinn, I don't put this on Dan, as crazy as now. It's not Dan Quinn's fault. This is Adam Peters' fault right here.
Okay.
Adam Peters dropped the ball. You could tell at his press conference yesterday, he did not want to be there.
No, of course not. He's very uncomfortable in the spotlight.
I mean, he was just sitting there the whole time, like, Dan was trying to take all the tough questions away from him because Adam didn't want to deal with the tough questions.
All right. Let me jump in. You've made your point clear. You've made your point clear. You projected that Cliff was going to get fired. You were right. And now you're after Adam Peters. Fine. Listen, Adam Peters did not do a good job this year, period. Point blank, simple, no matter what anyone wants to say, including Adam Peters, did not do a good job this year. And it was not just injury related. That being said, I can also admit that while Cliff was hamstrung, Cliff did not do enough good things this year. Cliff did not change and bend and amend his philosophy this year enough to deal with the injuries. So, if Adam was upset that Cliff basically said we don't have any personnel, he wasn't wrong. The Terry McLaurin situation was butchered, and Adam Peters admitted that yesterday. And they trusted Noah Brown over and over and over and over. And they let Zacchaeus, and they let De'Ami Brown, and they let Jamison Crowder go. Who was screaming about that last offseason? Me. Everyone else was like, don't let the door hit you in the ass. I told you that was going to be a problem. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980, end of hour number one. More of your phone calls, reactions, and a list, a growing list of who potentially could be the new OC and the new DC of the Washington Commanders.